at 2 o'clock. But it is a surprise, so don't call and ask for it. I guess maybe that's why they wait until the last minute. Amber. She got a surprise song. Hold on, I'll tell you what it is. Going to be right after the rest, their service is going to be in the side yard. It's a surprise. Pastoral, 10-year pastoral anniversary. So it's going to be Sunday for those that are able to make it.
Amen.
So you don't have to stay long. Just go for support. I told with the help of the Lord, my wife and I will be here. Amen. But don't call and ask, and don't miss the door. It's supposed to be a surprise. All right, so we'll see how successful that is. I imagine that's why they waited until the last minute to tell us. If it's a nobody, we'll let them know in advance. But we thank God for that. And we just thank God, amen, for those that did go to the homegoing service today for what was said to support the Caraway family. Amen. Times we went down is we need each other.
Amen.
All right, so who might suffer?
We all suffer.
Amen. Who might suffer? We all suffer. Who might rejoice? If we ever find our place in God to really express that, amen, the church will be a much better place. So we just thank God, amen, for all that God is doing. Also, we thank God for my wife, amen, we thank God for all of you. We just thank God for God being God. How many are really expecting God to do something?
Amen.
I mean, not just in the church, you know, every day I pray, Lord, I'm expecting God to do something. I think we need to echo that part of our screen, expect a miracle. We really need to expect a miracle. Let us stand. Oh, you have another announcement? Oh.
Praise the Lord. I don't have all of the information, but Sister Kimberly reminded me that Sister Liz's family, they're going away. We're giving them a going away party on the 15th of October, and since they're not here, we're making the announcement. So it's on a Sunday, October 15th, right after church, and we'll be going away for the parents. Sister Carmen and Deacon Francisco. The 15th on a Sunday. Amen. So prepare for that. We just wanted to be mindful of that because they're not here.
And she's going to ask the women to put something
back
to pray.
Amen. Amen. So we just let's all thank God. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Than to just do what we want to do. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to read verses 1 through 7 of 2 Kings. Amen. Do we all have it? And for those that do not have it, we know it is on the screen. Verse 1 reads, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Amon, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was," you know, the Lord is keep magnifying that. He did that which was what? Right in the eyes of the people. In the eyes of everybody else. But he did what was right in the what? Sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he prayed to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but his kept his commandment, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord, and what? The Lord was with him, and he, so he prospered because what? So if we're not prospering, maybe we need to find out, is the Lord with us? Amen. The Lord's with us, so he prospered whithersoever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. May the Lord have blessed to the reader of the church said, is blessed already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So like I said, once again, we're going back to something that we've gone over, but this time the Lord impressed something differently on me. Amen. We know that the scripture says that we read in, I believe, 2 Kings, I think it was verse 20, it says that, I mean, chapter 20, is it said that when the Lord had spoke to Hezekiah to get his house in order, that Hezekiah went before God. He said, "Now, Lord, remember it." Remember, that's we're going to continue on our testimony, right? Remember how I walked before thee in truth. So you do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. You have to walk in what? Truth. If you're not walking, not part truth, but what? All truth. Amen. So he walked in truth and with what kind of heart? A perfect heart. And he said, "I've done that which is right in your eyes." That was accessible. And the scripture says that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And verse 5, you know, for the sake of time, so we can keep moving. Verse 5 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. And this is some kind of a testimony. Amen. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him, there was. That's some kind of trust. He trusted them. We know they had some great kings after Hezekiah. But none of them trusted the Lord like he trusted him. Amen. Among all, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, not any that were before. What kind of trust did this man have? I mean, trust God. In hard times, trust God. Hezekiah had many challenges, but he what? Trusted God. But the part we're going to focus on tonight is for he prayed. This is what we're dealing with, and this is what the Lord impressed upon me. He prayed to the Lord. Now, claim is the Hebrew word debak, D-A-B-A-Q. And it means to be glued to. It means that you're stuck to the Lord and can't nothing pull your heart. Can't no one pull you apart. Amen. So the scripture says that, and then we're going to go to some other references, because plague also means to cleave. I remember in Genesis chapter 2, I believe it's verse 24, the scripture says, the Lord said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and do what? Cleave unto his wife. That's the same thing, right? So it's in our relationship with God should be like that between a husband and a wife. Right? Not only is it just a casual relationship, but it has to be an intimate relationship. And that relationship should be so close that it's no longer God and I, but we become one. Right? So we're cleaving to the Lord. So when you see me, you see the Lord. Right? Because we're doing what? We're cleaving to the Lord. It means, I guess today, you know, what's the strongest glue in glue we got there? Gorilla glue? Right? We need to have some gorilla glue in our spirits. Amen. So when we get stuck to the Lord, can't nothing. Right? So it said we're to cleave to the Lord to the point that we become one with the Lord. Amen. We know that God is always there for us. I said, wow, cleaving to the Lord, we become one. Because indeed we are the one of Christ, the bride of Christ. So the Lord said we're supposed to cleave. Now when you're cleaving, and it says in Matthew the 19th chapter, and I believe it's Mark the 10th chapter, it said, what God has joined together, let no man put so we cleave to God, that means we shouldn't allow anything or anyone to separate us from God. Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God? Amen. So in cleaving to God, we stick so close to God. We adhere so close to God that we are no longer two, but we are now one. Right? And then when we begin to walk like that, he said he clave to the Lord and departed not from
him.
Now this is how our relationship has to be with God. Don't allow your hardships, don't allow your trials, don't allow your tests to stop you from doing what? Following him. Amen. As it goes on to say, but he kept his commandment which the Lord commanded Moses. And because he was so close to God, you know, when you're that close to God, whatever God does, become his character becomes a part of you. His blessings become a part of you. Alright? So he was so close to the Lord that the scripture says that he what? Prospered. Why? Because he was that close to God. Was it an option to prosper? No, he was so close to God that God made it so that he prospered. And we're going to come back to this. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 3 to 5. Now, cleaving could be good, and cleaving could also be bad. Because when we cleave to God, and don't let anything separate us, come between us and God, the scripture, he will prosper us. God will be with us and bless us. But a little later we're going to read someone that cleaved to something that wasn't God. And as a result, God got angry with them. Amen. So tonight, what are we cleaving to? Now cleaving means nothing. Look at somebody say nothing. Nobody.
Nobody
can come between us. Right? The devil is shrewd. He uses little nothings to separate us from God. Amen? So you're going to cleave to God, but in order to cleave to God, you have to do first one is right in whose eyes? God's eyes. Right? I know we live in a society where we've been, since we were kids, we want to do things to please people. But how many know if we ever get to the place we please any, this means husband, wife, or anybody more than God, God does not like that. Because that is separation. Right? That's no longer you cleaving to God. You cleave to God that nothing can pull you apart. I wonder how many of us have a gorilla glue relationship with God? Yeah, gorilla glue, yeah, you know, I put some stuff together like gorilla glue. You tear your hands up before you can do that. Gorilla trying to pull it apart. That's the kind of relationship we should have with God. Nothing should be able to pull us apart. Now the scripture says, this is talking about Uzziah, and Uzziah in 2 Chronicles, he's Uzziah, and in 2 Kings, he's Azariah, but it's the same person, all right? So it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned
15 years.
He reigned how old?
52.
Hezekiah only reigned 29 years. So he superseded Hezekiah by 23 years, amen? He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was? He did what? What was right in the sight of the Lord. According to all that his father Amaziah did, and he sought the Lord. In the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. No matter what came against him, God said, "Wait a minute, you're sick of me. I'm gonna make you to prosper." If you remember, not too long ago, when Asa, when the prophet came to, was Hananiah or Azariah came to Asa, he said, as long as you be with God, God will be with you. But if you forsake God, God will also forsake you. So he reigned how long? 52 years. And as long as he saw God, he was holding on to God. But now he reigned 23 years longer than Hezekiah, right? But now something happened in his walk with God. He started well, and we said a testimony is how God sees you. Right? Our testimony is what? How God sees us. Our reputation is how people, the difference between a reputation and a testimony is a testimony, as I started out the first day, so I am today. I have not wavered, I have not gone back, I have not faltered, but I've stayed with God because I got in a river of salvation. So I'm glued to God and can't nothing pull me apart. But this Uzziah, or Azariah, whichever name we choose to use, started right, but he lost his testimony. Right? A testimony is a confirmation, it's a validation of the real you. Your testimony, not the real you for us to see, you know, because we can testify a whole lot, but God looks beyond the words. Right? Because God says he's not interested in us serving him in tongue and in word, but how? Indeed, amen. That's a testimony. If nobody else sees me, I'm still indeed and in truth. So now let's drop down to the 15th verse of that same chapter. Now God made him to prosper as long as he was. Now what the devil will do, let me show you how the devil works. What he'll do, he'll cause you little trouble, so you draw back from God. You know when you draw back, you lose your blessings. God won't make you to prosper. Listen, there wasn't a soul that could get in his way, and we're going to read about his wisdom that he had beyond some of the other wisdom. Amen. Verse 15 said, he made in Jerusalem entrance, invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones. God was blessing them with supernatural wisdom, right? Even in their protection. And his name spread far. He had a great reputation. We're going to find he lost his testimony because he did not endure until the end. So his name spread abroad, so he had a great reputation. For he was marvelously helped till he was want you to get lifted up and proud.
Amen.
He said, but until he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of... Now, who was supposed to burn incense? The priest. He is the king. Amen. So God has been blessing him. And he's looking at all that God has blessed him, but he forgot it wasn't his own might or power that got him what he had. But how many know it was the Lord?
Amen.
So and when you are just working on that reputation, you lose sight of who God is and the fact that God sees you. But when you have a testimony, you always do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And Azariah, the priest, went, verse 17, went in after him. And with him, you got 81 priests. This is when you know you got beside yourself. 81 priests went in verse 17. They withstood Uzziah, the king, and said to them, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. That means you need to stay in your lane. You got to stay in your place. I don't want to get off track. Let's keep. So he told him, listen, you're not supposed to be doing what the priest is doing. Stay in your place. Right. But when you begin to think that you've done it by yourself, there's an element of pride that will cause you to be lifted up. Amen. And he said, but to the priest, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Now, it said in the beginning, we read that he was going over right in the what? Sight of the Lord. And as long as he did it, God. Yes, Lord, stay with God. Amen. Don't get beside yourself.
Amen.
Don't become so lifted up that you think that you have arrived and you're somebody. That you start dealing in areas that are not your particular area. Amen.
Amen.
And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, then Uzziah got. Well, why are you getting angry? Because someone is telling you you're going against what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Stay humble.
Right.
Stay humble. Amen. Uzziah got wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Then tell them, anyone to tell me you're wrong. But he lost his testimony and was now living on a reputation. Because remember, said, all nations saw and thought he was what? Great. The Bible said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Amen. Just stay on the Lord's side. Amen. It says, and while he was wrong with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself is also a Lord, because the Lord had smitten him. Well, how did a man start off so right and wind up so wrong? How did he start off with God making him to prosper and then get to the place where God was angry with him? Because he stopped doing what was right in the the sight of God. So he was no longer cleaving to God, but he was doing what he wanted to do. Now they told him, they said, what you're doing is wrong. Stop. Anybody ever tell you, say, wait a minute. I don't think God wants you to do that. Stay humble.
Amen.
down and say, you know what, Bishop? Yeah. You know, I'll listen because I don't want God to have to take. I don't want God to have to step in if I don't listen. Right? So this is what happened. When God sends, not when somebody else comes. Y'all can see the difference. When God sends someone to help arrest you, meaning to stop you from doing what you're doing, and they say God sent me, and you know God sent them, and you pursue anyway, then God gets seen. Right? Because you're no longer holding to God, but now you're doing what you want to do. You're just working on your reputation. That's what man sees. But God sees us when nobody else does. Amen? So, Uzziah started off so well, but he spent his last days full of leprosy. Because he did not well. But the scripture said, but what does hinder you now? Right? Let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And y'all just say with me, amen. We're trying to make sure that we're cleaving to God. Not my way, but whose way? God's way. That is the only way that counts, is we have to do it God's way. Amen. But if we go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, we're going to go just to two verses of scripture. You can read it between yourself. Verse 1 says what? Stand. Wait a minute. Don't let nothing move you. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has. Don't get entangled again in the yoke. God has set you free.
Amen.
Don't go back to the bondage. Don't go back to the, it's not just bondage, but it's a yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Amen. I think it's verse 7 or 6. All right, verse 7. So, in between that, he's telling them, he said, listen, God has saved you. God has delivered you. God has made you free. God forbid that we should go back. Don't go back. Right? Because God has done what? Set us free. Now, when you got a testimony, you keep on running. You don't stop. When you got a testimony, nothing can pull you away from God because you're what? Cleaving to God. But when you only have a reputation, he said, you did. You had a testimony, Uzziah. You started off right. But what the hinder you? So a lot of us are living in the yesterday. Hallelujah. But what are we doing now? What the hinder you now? And the next verse says that you're not obeying the truth. Right? Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to know the truth, the scripture says, in the day that you seek after me with all your heart, they shall ye find. Now, a person that's won a reputation, they will always do what's right in everybody else's eyes. But they're not seeking after him with all their heart. God's word is not deniable, it's not full of errors, but whatever God says is true. And I'm reading the scripture, let God be and how many of us are believing a man and denying God? That's not cleaving. That's not holding on. That's not holding on to the truth. Let God be true. And every man is what? A liar. Don't listen to anybody wanting you to listen to God. Well, God said, now if you really want to know, just seek me. Somebody said, well, I've been praying to the Lord for all these years and it's nothing changed because you haven't done it with all your heart. Because I think God's word is true, I is what? It's not true, right? If God said it, I believe it. I heard somebody say that. That settles it for me. So we say, well, I'm seeking God, but God is not fulfilling his promise. As long as he sought the law, God, listen, he said, listen, you want to prosper. the fall. Self got in the way. All right, so let who be true?
God be true.
God, let's go on this God be true thing for a minute. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. I know I got some, I'm going to add scriptures, but I'm going to still stay within the time frame. All right? Go to Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Let who be true?
God.
Don't you allow anybody to add to God's word. Because God has an answer for anyone to add to his word. Amen. I choose to believe God. I walked with God for a long time. I've had some embarrassing situations because I stayed with the Lord. Right? And staying with the Lord, sometimes man will put you in a position to make you look bad. But how many of those Lord you say with God? God will make you to, God will make you prosper. Amen. So let God be true and amen in the Lord. Well, why would we want God to be true? Verse 5 of Proverbs 30 reads, some of the words of God.
Thoughts.
It is time to return back. Don't let the spirit. I don't care how long you've been saved, I need to hear. Does anybody want to hear a word from God? Yes, Lord. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. I know we know all these, but go to Psalm chapter 1. I know we know all these really well, but we're going to go through this. And then from Psalm 1, we're going to go to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, all right? So Psalm 1. Now, is there a difference between counsel and advice? Now, we talk about being blessed. We talk about receiving from God. We talk about pleading. Now, pleading, nothing. I could be broken as Job, turn to lose my house, lose everything, but I refuse to lose God. I can lose everything else and have God and start all over again. But if I lose God, nothing else matters. How many want to be blessed? Yeah. Well, how many want to be blessed? Yeah. Blessed is the man there. Don't take advice. That's what it means. If I'm with you, I don't want to be. I don't want you to be me. I just want to seek the Lord for myself. Amen. Because as long as I seek God, God will make me to prosper. But the minute I start being influenced by your words, I'm taking counsel, and if it's not from God, it's not God. So this is the man that does what? Walking not in the counsel of our godly, nor stop. You're trying to get a blessing. You can't be with the ungodly in counsel. You can't be all mixed up with the sinner. You got to come out from among them and be ye. Somebody said, well, that's not what God means. Don't add to his word. He means what he says. So when you start adding to it, the scripture says God will find you out and you will be shown up to be a liar, right? Nor sinneth in the seed of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate. I've been seeking God. Yeah, I saw him this morning, but throughout the course of the day I got weak spiritually. You gotta keep seeking. Right? Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate how? Now when you do this, this is God's word. It's saying, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. His what? He's bringing forth fruit in his and his. And wait a minute, that can't be true. Because I've been doing this and I ain't prospering. Are you pleading to God? Are you fully following God? And are you fully trusting God? Now, I'm not talking about the charlatan, charade, you know, the reputation stuff. I'm talking about when it's just you and God. What does God see? What does God hear? When God goes beyond our external and reads our heart, what does God see? So I'm trying to get a blessing from God, but I'm trying to do it my way. That's just like Uzziah. You can't go lighting something. An incense, you can't go in a place that you're not supposed to be. If you're going to come before God, you got to come with a clean heart, right? Whatsoever he doeth shall but be. Somebody said, well, I've been struggling. You got to be back on God's side. They are godly or not? But on my day, which the you mean I don't have a blessing? Where is your heart? Where is your mind? That's good enough. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, because y'all don't make it run out of time. So it's important that we do what? Cleave to who? We got to cleave to who? Cleave to God. Don't let nothing separate between you and your God. Don't let nothing come between you and God. Hallelujah. It's time for us to stay on the Lord's side. So we're talking about cleaving to God. Cleaving to God means I don't let a trial or anything separate. Read the latter portions of 8, 20, it says, who or what shall separate us from the love of God? Who or what shall separate? What has caused you to doubt God? Is it a relationship? Is it finances? Is it an occupation? Is it a home? What has separated between you and your God? What has stopped you from cleaning? Amen. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4 reads, now therefore, hearken means of what?
Listen.
Amen. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a what? But be a worker, a doer of the word. Amen. O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. For to, if you know God's word, then decide to what? Do them. That ye may live and go in and God has given us promises that we have not yet obtained because we've stopped seeking God. We have stopped doing his commandments. Amen. Land which the Lord God your father, you don't have to work for it. He's going to what? Stay with God. You know, there's some things you say, wow, if I go on my own, I get it. Stay with God. Because if you stay with God, God will what? Give it to you. Ye shall not.
Cleave to God. Don't let nothing separate between you and your God.
So cleaving could be good and cleaving could be
bad.
If you don't cleave to God and cleave to anything else, it would turn your heart from falling after God. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles. Oh, let me see. I can't read all of these. Hold on a second. Let me just cut this short for a second. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. I'm going to read like three verses here. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And then we're going to finish up in 1 Kings 11. So if you plead to God, God will bless you. How many want to bless him?
Amen.
Don't let nothing pull you away from God. Hold to God. Even if someone, if our spouse said, if you stay in that church, I'm going to walk away from you. Hold on to God.
Yes.
God will bless you. Because if you lose God, you lose everything. Amen. So 1 Chronicles 22, verse 11 reads, this is David speaking to Solomon. Now cleaving could be good, and cleaving could be bad. If you cleave to God, I don't know that's good.
Amen.
If you cleave anything else, that's not good. Now my son, the Lord be with thee, and as long as God's with thee, you're going to what?
Prosper.
Amen. And build the house of the Lord thy God as he has said to thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest. You got to hold to God's word. Hold on to it. Don't allow anything to cause you to lose God's word. If you hold on to God's word, then thou shalt. Not prospering, whatever the prosperity you have been looking for, are you holding on to God's word by what? Cleaving to it. I'm so close to God that nothing can come between me and God. Amen. He said, thou shalt prosper. Now let's go to 1 Kings 11. Solomon started off with wisdom greater than any man's wisdom. They came from all over the world just to hear Solomon's wisdom. The Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. She said, the half has not yet been told. Solomon had a reputation. Right? All over the world. Not only did they come all over the world to hear Solomon, but they just sent him gold and stuff in abundance. But Solomon had a good reputation, but he lost his testimony. Amen. Because Solomon got to the point that he started going for man, and he forgot about God. Verse 1. Do we have 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1? Does everybody have it? But King Solomon, why should you go outside the covenant? Why should you start messing with stuff that God never wants you to mess with? Strange is stuff that's ungodly. Strange is something God doesn't want you dealing with. So what is strange? If it ain't of God, it's strange. The Bible in Proverbs talk about strange women being strange. Alright. If I'm married and I'm with another woman, that's a strange woman.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That is not part of the covenant. That's not part of the cleaving, because I'm allowing someone to break up that covenant. So it's strange. So Solomon loved many together with the thought of Pharaoh. Wait a minute. How many times did God tell them to go back down to Egypt? What in the world is Solomon doing marrying Pharaoh's? God steadfast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you, and be not detained again in the. How are you going to the yoke to get a wife when God has sent you? God has sent you free. So he goes down and gets Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 2 said, of a nation's concern which the Lord said unto the children of Israel. That was God's word. He said, don't go relationship, that is strange.
Amen.
God didn't help me, so I had to help myself. I'm going to act too. Because you'll make a bad situation worse. Amen. He said, all the nations which concern with the Lord said unto the children, don't go. God in his infinite wisdom knows what will cause our demise, cause our spiritual destruction. Right? He said, don't go into them, for surely they will. A lot of people say, well, no, but I'm not in this relationship. I'm playing him safe or her safe. You know what happens? 99% of the time, they take you out of church. Because that is God's. I'm not going to say nothing. That's God's word.
Amen.
Well, I just thought I'd help the Lord out. God's been doing what he's been doing for thousands of years. Before we were here, he was doing it. Let God do it his way. Amen. Just stay on the Lord's side. Cleave. Yes, I'm lonely. Yes, I'm desperate. Hold on. Yes, I'm in a bad situation. Hold on.
Amen.
Amen. It says the latter part of this, that Solomon, you can cleave to something good or you can cleave to something. Now he said that when you cleave to something bad, it's going to do what? Turn your heart from following God. So I said, well, how do I get so far away from God? What are you doing? What have you been clinging to? What have you been cleaving? What's been entertaining you in your subconscious mind? This is how the subconscious mind, this is what Bishop G.T. King would quote years ago. He said, listen, everything we do, we allow it come into our stress when it's ungodly. It's like, well, today, he uses, you know, phonograph, but that was way back then. Today, let's use a CD. When you put stuff on a CD, now some CDs are erasable. We're talking about an unerasable CD. He said, everything that you delve into, your soul is like a CD. So everything, if it's ungodly, is etched into the CD. So whatever you put in the CD will eventually what? Play. So everything we do is etched. Nobody even knows. Right, you talk sometimes I'll record and I'll pay attention and record something, I have to throw the whole CD away. Because it's in it. I can't change it. Right? So I never asked all over. Well, Twisted CD Hayward said everything we delve into, our soul is like a CD. It's yesterday. Everything we do. So if you do something, nobody's watching you, say, well, I just looked for a little while, it's still in it. That's your soul. Eventually, that stuff that's on the CD is gonna play itself. And then when it starts playing, you're gonna say, wow, where did this come from? Because in your subconscious mind, you entertain stuff. And that entertaining stuff went on your soul. Then that stuff starts acting out, and you're looking at it and say, where did that come from? What did you put on? Because whatever you put on it will eventually come out. That's what we have to guard ourselves. God said, keep the heart with all. Father. So he built this. get that. Verse 6 said, and Solomon did. Why? Because he was holding on to the wrong thing. You got to hold on, but you got to hold on to God. You got to cling to God. All right? Sign of the Lord. And when God, he was going after the Lord, but he was going all along fully after the Lord and David his father. Let's get this. And let's go, let's ask it out to verse 9. We're going to verse 9. All right? Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Amen. In your hardship and distresses, let God be true. And every man else, a liar. Verse 9 says, and the Lord was angry with Saul because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him. Wait a minute. You know, there's not another king that, listen, all the other kings, God sent somebody to them. God loved Solomon so much that God went personally to God. He said, he feared of him how? Twice. I know one was in Gibeon when he had the dream. I believe, I forget what the other one was. I think the other one was when he prayed and said, Lord, if we ever be put to the worse. So God appeared to Solomon twice. He was special. You know what God called? God called Solomon a name. I told y'all before. What did God call Solomon? One of y'all's nephew's names there. God called Solomon Jedediah, which means beloved with God. Amen. But David was Bathsheba messed up. They called him Solomon. Before he was born, God said his name shall be Jedediah, which means beloved of the Lord. That's how much God loved Solomon. He gave him his own name. But Solomon allowed some stuff and people to come between him and God. God had appeared to him personally. He didn't appear to the other king. All the other kings said a prophet. But he loved Solomon so much, he went to him twice to try to warn him. Because God, in his infinite knowledge, knew the test was coming. And Solomon had to make a decision. Verse 10 said, and had commended him concerning what he was doing. The very thing that he was doing. God had already warned him that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord had commanded. Tonight, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't think you need God out. The Bible says, from eternity to eternity, thou art. How many of y'all live from eternity to eternity? Anybody live from eternity to eternity? No. In all of our wisdom, it's nothing but a dip in the bucket of God. Why not let God lead us? Instead of bewailing and causing ourselves unnecessary hardship, why not just trust God? Why not just hold on to God? Why not just say, let God be true as we all stand? Tonight, I'm more concerned with my testimony than I am with a reputation. My testimony is what I do before God. And I just want to go to one other verse of scripture, and that being 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it is. I just want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to read something that Paul said that is so true. Amen. If we want to be on God's side. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 said, he's talking about his testimony. Paul, the apostle. And he used the word testimony several times in speaking in his writing. But verse 12 says, Father, rejoice in this. The testimony of our testimony of mine. If your conscience is messed up, your testimony is messed up. He said, the testimony of my conscience, that in simplicity and not just sincerity, what kind of sincerity? Godly sincerity. not the wisdom of the flesh, but by the grace of God. For we a man are, he said, listen, the world, conversation is my conduct. The world has seen how I've conducted myself. And more importantly, to do, but how I do it? Through the grace of God. Keep your testimony in a what kind of conscience? A godly and a sincere conscience, elder man.
And the church, amen.